All right, I am Matthew Gage. You're listening to Baptist Basics University. The course is Bus Ministry 101. This is lesson number 4, Starting a New Route. Now, just because it's titled that, I don't want you to get scared away if you already have a route, or even if you are have an established ministry. I think we'll touch on some things that will be a help to you, some things to look for an area, maybe start a new route, and some different information, even on finding kids. I know I'm going to cover that in some other lessons, but there's going to be some information to touch on that I think will be a help to you regardless, so I don't want you to just skip over this, don't let the title scare you. I've had a little bit of experience at this. I helped start two routes while I was in college. One is a helper, and the other is a bus captain, and I've talked quite a bit about that already, I know. And even after I've got out of college, been back and helped start a route down here, I pretty much started from scratch, even though it really was restarting the route. But I've got a little bit of experience about this, learned some things and seen some things I think would be a help to you. The first thing you need is you need an area. You need some place to go. Some things you want to look for. Well, in fact, before I get into that, let me give you this thought here, is that an area, our bus route will only be as good as the area. What I mean by that is some areas will not support large bus routes. I mean, you can expect to, for instance, pick up more people than the town population. That is very impractical. In fact, you will find that even in a town of 2,000 or 3,000, you might have trouble filling up a 15-passenger van if you have any type of competition out there. If there's more churches that are going out there, you may find it very difficult to even fill up a 15-passenger van, let alone a bus. So, and then the same thing, if you're in a large city, for instance, where you've got a lot more opportunities, you know, you may be able to fill up one whole bus just start stopping at one apartment complex. That is not uncommon. So you really, it's only going to be as good as the area. And I'm going to touch on a little bit, but even just the middle class neighborhood, an upper class middle neighborhood is not a good place usually to build a bus route. The people are usually busy on Saturdays. They're are working, or they go to church, or they just don't care. So it's very difficult to build there. You know, you're going to want to find a little more lower class neighborhood. In fact, that's my first point. We'll just kind of segue into it that way. But you want to look for a lower to middle class neighborhood. I wouldn't go to where the $1 million homes are and start trying to build a bus route. In fact, you are probably wasting your time at all trying to build a bus route where the homes are valued at more than $200,000 in most parts of the country. I know that does not apply very well in other parts. You know, California, 50-year-old shack may go for $250,000. I know the real estate values are a lot different there, but in my neck of the woods, a $200,000 house is a pretty nice house. And it's going to be very difficult to find kids in places like that. I'm not saying it's impossible, but it is very, very difficult. You're going to find the rundown houses, the neighborhood where nobody mows the yard, where the siding's falling off the houses, you know, that kind of thing. That's the places you're usually going to be building bus route. Those places across the tracks, and those are the people really Christ spoke more about reaching, were the poor. I'm thinking now of the parable. I don't have my Bible open. Where the king sends servants out to bid the people come to the feast, and went to all his rich friends, and nobody wanted to come, and how they end up going out and just grabbing beggars off the street, basically. And that's the same type of thing you're going to find with the bus route. It's those people who are more well-to-do not going to have anything to do with you. But you will find people. They're going to be the down-and-outers. They're going to be the more in a lower class economically. And I'm not saying socially or anything necessarily. I'm not trying to be downgrading. I'm just being honest. Economically, they're going to be in the lower class. Something else you want to look for is apartments. If you have any, if you're in a larger town, you have apartment complexes, they are great. Get a lot of bang for your buck in visiting, because there's, you know, 100 doors right there in, you know, just a quarter of a city block. They're very good, and usually there's a lot of kids in them. Yeah, depends. Some apartment complexes are a little more lenient than that, but that's a very good place if you can find some apartment complexes. Another thing, especially down around my area, is trailer parks. If you can find a trailer park, that's another very good one. You usually, the houses are pretty close, and that's, you know, considered more of a lower class neighborhood most of the time. There are some really nice trailer parks, but for the most part, that's considered a little bit of a lower class deal. So you can do pretty well in those also. Something else you want to look for, especially I know down around here, they are building subdivisions everywhere. Well, with that, they're usually building elementary schools. I mean, if there is an elementary school nearby, yeah, most parents are more inclined to live near it. So that's something else you can look for. Parks and other things that, you know, sometimes will fit the bill also. But yeah, good thing to look for is an elementary school. Something else we'll look for is a reasonable distance from the church. I think when you're building a bus route, especially if you're starting from scratch, you need to start the immediate vicinity of your church, if possible, and work your way out. Don't be driving two counties over to be picking up kids if you ain't picking up the kids across the street. So that's where I would start, is in the neighborhood surrounding the church, and then in your hometown. And then, you know, then you can branch out and reach people in your county, or if you really get to growing, like a lot of the larger bus ministries do, you may be going to a county or two over. I've heard of routes that drive 3 or 4 hours before they pick up kids. I'm not going to say that's maybe the most recommended or best thing, but if you can do it and get them in church, go for it. But that's something else you want to consider. You want to stay reasonably close to the church. I remember my dad helped run the route to a place called Hippie Ridge. I'm not sure what the technical name was for it, but it's over by Boonesville, Texas. And so we were driving 40 minutes before we even picked up a kid. And it puts a lot of strain just on the amount of time it takes to get there, to pick up the kids, to come back. And honestly, most people are not crazy about their kids riding more than 15, 20 minutes to church. In fact, you will find just sometimes across town or in the next town over, people don't want to send their kids because, oh, it's too far. I know of a church that is right on the border of Ohio and lives Ohio in West Virginia, and they're just right there on the line. Well, when they go visiting 2 miles from their church, but across the state line, nobody wants to come because it's too far. You know, they're crossing over a state line, so sometimes you got to consider stuff like that also. I really think a good idea is to actually map out boundaries for routes. Once you get more than one or two, it's a very good thing. It's great for organization. You know, this person is in charge of reaching this section of the city. If you're out more in a more rural setting like we are, you may just have a bus or van going to a town, and that's fine too. But you need to have some organization to it. It keeps you from overlapping. It'll keep feuds starting between bus routes. And it also, as I say, it's just a good way to make sure you are actually reaching your entire neighborhood, in your entire area. You're not just turning somebody loose on the bus and say, hey, go find kids wherever you can. You're actually saying, hey, this is your route, this is your area, and these are the kids you need to reach. You need to focus on these first. And then if that doesn't pan out, if there's not a lot of kids there, then move them or expand them or something. But I think that is the wisest way to do it. Now, in a large city, it's pretty easy to do because you can actually do it by streets. And, you know, so-and-so will have their route, you know, north of 1st Street and west of 32nd and however your streets are laid out. That's a very common way, especially in a larger city. Anyway, moving on to the next point, finding workers. I think the best place to find a bus captain is to find someone who is an exceptional worker on another route. You pretty much know they already have a heart for the ministry and for the kids, and you get a chance to see them in action before just turning over the responsibility to them. Honestly, for a bus captain, I would not take somebody out of another ministry if I could help it. This is something that really your workers need to be built up and work their way up through the bus ministry itself. I wouldn't be oh, hey, this guy's a good Sunday school teacher. Let's make him a bus captain if he's not already in the bus. Most people, if they're not in the bus ministry, they usually aren't real crazy about the idea, even if they work with kids. Some people just can't take being cooped up on a van with all those kids, and that's understandable. But if you can't find somebody on another route, I would then try to get somebody that works with children in another ministry. And then as far as the workers for the individual routes go, I think the best plan is to let the captain recruit their own workers. So they get people they're comfortable with, get people doing what they want to be done. It just, honestly, I think this bus captain has the authority of running that route, and they ought to be free to choose who they have working for them. Now, you may want to assign some teenagers or something to some routes. That wouldn't be too terrible, but I wouldn't just turn over a bunch of people and say, here's all your workers. And number one, I think it's good for the bus captain to actually do that for the work aspect of it, but it's not very practical. You will end up having a problem because you'll have some personality clashes and differences of opinions. And it does not work very well. The only position I think it would work best just to go ahead and have for a bus captain is the driver. I think that is the best thing to do there, because it's hard to find a bus driver, because you got to have somebody that's willing to do it and somebody that has a CDL. So as far as the bus driver goes, I think that's a very good one to go ahead and maybe have a list of people who would be ready, willing, and able to do so. And then maybe give the choice to the captain, hey, which one of these people would you mind working with? But that would be the one thing I would come nearer assigning to a route than any other worker, just because it's a little more difficult to find. Now, when you're starting a ministry, you're going to be going out probably into areas that may have been knocked on normal soul-winning days, but no one's ever really gone out and tried to find kids for the bus ministry. And it's kind of a daunting task. Here you are, you have your area, and oh my goodness, where do I start? Well, refer back to the point about starting an area or founding an area, and I would use some of those guidelines to figure out what's going to be the best place to start. But what I recommend doing, and I've actually done this both ways, is when starting bus route, I think you don't need to worry about knocking every door at first. Now, I think you need to eventually, but when you're starting a route, you're trying to get some kids going, trying to get some momentum going, I think you need what I call spot knock. And you need to be going out across your route and just knocking where it looks like there's kids or where there are kids. It really helps you get the momentum going. You're going to find more kids. You're not going to be wasting your time looking for kids at doors where there's not any kids. You have a lot more quick success that way. Now, once I went through a route and went through and knocked most of the houses that look like there's kids, then I would go back and okay, let's knock this street. We're going to, and then systematically go through there and knock every door. But it's very easy to see where kids live, and I say, you know, that's who you're out there looking for. So go out and go straight for them, target them. You can look for toys, pets, minivans, lawns that have big holes in them where the kids have been playing. It's very easy to do. You can find kids very easy. If you do knock on the door and they're not interested in their kids going and they're friendly, I'm going to tell you something I usually do is I will usually go ahead and ask them, hey, are there other, you know, if there are any other kids on the street that don't go to church? And most people are actually very helpful that way, and they will tell you, oh yes, two doors down, they go to church, they go over to the Methodist church. And now, right across the street over there, that blue house, now those kids, I don't think they go anywhere. And you will honestly be surprised that most people will be very helpful to you in finding kids, because I mean, they even if they go to church or at least have some respect for the work of God, most people are going to be helpful in your task. So I'd say, hey, you using the information you can get, if you've got them there, they're talking to you, they're nice, and if they go to church or just kind of non-interested, but if they're friendly, hey, get some information out of them if you can. It'll give you a little insight into the neighborhood and might even save you a very uncomfortable and bad visit. If you've ever done that, go across somewhere that the person would rather argue or cuss you than talk to you about the kids riding the bus. A lot of times people can warn you about that. They'll tell you that people over there are real grumpy. Now, one thing I do like to use, especially starting out, is to have permission slips. Very easy to put together. I'll try to find some that we've used in the past, maybe at Clay's Mill or somewhere, and attach to this if I can find it. But basically just saying, you know, signing and saying, you know, the parent gives permission for the kid to attend the church, and you may want to even put something in there about learning about things of God. I don't know exactly how you word that. I've seen it worded a few different ways, but I like a fairly detailed one that says, you know, this is what we're doing, this is what we're trying to do, and you know, the parents give their permission for them to come, for them to learn the Bible, and even be under the teaching of the church. That way, there's, you know, you're not sitting here giving a false impression that you're going to take the kids and go play baseball with them. You know, you're letting the parents know, yeah, we do play and have some fun, but the main thing we're doing is trying to reach these kids for Christ. And I like being honest and upfront about that. And hey, it's the parents' kids, and when it comes down to it, their decisions are the ones that count. And I don't want to cause any trouble. I really don't. You'll cause problems if you are picking up kids under false pretenses, or in some cases, even honestly, I'll tell you an instance, and it gets a little bit ahead of myself into something I want to talk about here in the next paragraph or so in the notes. But we picked up some kids who I found out were Jehovah's Witness. Now, why in the world did they let them come to a Baptist church? I do not know. But they were Jehovah's Witness. And it came down to being a problem, and eventually. And honestly, I'm going to tell you the truth, if I had known those kids were Jehovah's Witness and at least semi-involved in there, I wouldn't mess with them, to tell you the truth. That's trouble waiting to happen. Now, I want to reach the kids, yes, but you're asking for trouble in a situation like that. Now, the cause of that, I'm going to talk about right now, is something I don't recommend that you do on permission slips. I do not recommend that you get baptism permission on a permission slip. That's a pretty big step, and most people have a lot of false impressions about baptism, and honestly, they don't react very well to that even being brought up when you first are signing up kids. Most of the reaction I had was very negative. We used some of these the last couple of years. I was in college, and to be honest with you, I basically didn't bring it up. If I was signing up kids, I might casually mention it, but usually I would tell people I don't recommend doing that, but it's there if you want. Most people have very false impressions about baptism anyway, and there's so many positives to delaying that and actually having a special meeting with the parents like I recommend. And I think I'll talk about that a little bit more later, so I don't want to get too much into that. But it just works out tremendously better. The story I was alluding to with the family of Jehovah's Witnesses was about this. They had signed there and put a little check in the box or initialed that line, whatever it was on that slip. And so basically we thought, oh, we got permission to baptize them. Well, the kids got saved, baptized them, and then when they got home told the parents, well, we had problems and ended up losing them and the family across the street that they were friends with, because they said we didn't have permission to baptize them. Yes, you know, by that paper, it looked like I did, but there was definitely a misunderstanding take place, and those people did not understand what they were signing. And you will run into quite a bit of stuff like that. Now, the one thing it does increase your baptism. You will get a lot more people baptized, but I think the negatives far outweigh the positives in doing so. But as I say, we're going to discuss that a lot more later. When you're starting a new route, next point, I recommend that you use promotions heavily. I mean, have promotions every single week. Promotions are like using Miracle-Gro on a plant. You want to help build excitement, help get the word out. Kids will get excited, especially if you're giving stuff away or you're having pizza. Pizza is one of the big deals. You have pizza on the bus. Boy, kids will get excited. They'll tell their friends. They'll bring their friends. That's something very simple you can do. Now, what I recommend doing is having, especially start maybe the first couple weeks, may not want to do anything real big, but have something. But I would go real strong for 4 or 5, maybe even 6 weeks, and have some pretty big promotions. I'm talking, pizza is a very good one. Giving away 2-liter Cokes works very well. I wouldn't just give away something you bought for a quarter each in the Oriental Trading magazine. I would do something a little bit nicer on these, something a little more expensive for 4 or 5 weeks, and then kind of taper off from that. But you want to do that just to get the kids going, give them that added incentive to come, and that's saying it helps build excitement. They'll want to bring their friends. Hey, if kids are having a good time, they'll bring their friends. So that I recommend doing that, especially, say, for 4, 5, 6 weeks or so. Next thing you can do is let kids find kids. You can use a lot of promotions. One thing I would do is build a program and give prizes or a big prize or something, but reward kids for bringing visitors. You will be surprised what the kids will do. If you can give away a bike or anything, a $50 gift card to Toys R Us, I mean, do something big, and you will be surprised what kids will do for stuff like that. And you got to realize, see, when you're going into the neighborhood, unless you're just from the area or maybe even live in the neighborhood, you don't know where the kids are. Let me tell you, every kid knows where every other kid lives. If they've lived there for any amount of time, they know where all the other kids live. They may not play with them. They may not even talk to them. But they know where every kid lives. And I'll tell you, they're more than happy to bring their friends. If they're having a good time, they'll try to bring their friends. Because, you know, they want to be with them. And it's time to get out and do something fun with their friends. This process works very well when kids are having a good time and you actually are rewarding them for bringing visitors. If those two things are happening, kids will produce. They will bring visitors. Now, let me give you just close out with a word of encouragement here. It is very easy in the first days, weeks, months of building a bus route to get discouraged. At first, you are very excited. It's a brand new prospect, a brand new possibility, and you are gung-ho about it. You're ready to go. You're putting in 2 or 3 extra hours visiting, but the work is hard. Let's say you building a new route is not easy work. And soon you will find yourself getting a little discouraged. You'll find yourself thinking things like, well, I'm working harder than these other routes. Why don't I have as many kids? I'm visiting longer, and they have 50. I'm still 10 or 15. Well, that's going to happen. It takes a while to get the bus route started under most normal circumstances. And it's very easy to get very, very discouraged. Let me tell you, my personal experience. When I was bus captain, last 2 years of college at Commonwealth, I really thought the bus route would grow a lot quicker than it did. I really thought within a month or two we would have 20, 30 kids and just grow because, hey, these other routes were running 50, 60, 90, 100. And you think, well, I've got all these college kids, workers, and we're going to just set the woods on fire. Well, after a couple months, we were just barely maintaining, you know, a dozen. And it was very, very discouraging. I mean, we were knocking. I had some tremendous, tremendous workers, and we couldn't find kids. And I'm going to tell you, it was very, very discouraging. And getting the question why I was even in the ministry, why I was even doing this, why did they pick me? Evidently, I ain't no good at being a bus captain, and I still wonder why they picked me. But, you know, don't get a false impression that it's going to come easy or come quick. It's going to take some time, take some work. Stick with it, be faithful, persevere. And in the end, one of these days you will turn around. It may be a year down the road, may just be 6 months down the road. You'll look out and you'll see a full van. You'll see a full bus and you'll think, wow, I cannot believe I've got this many kids now. I remember when we were just barely picking up five or six, or, you know, 2 months after we started bus route, we didn't pick up anybody. Listen, I'm not saying success is guaranteed, but if you stick with it, if you've got a good enough area, if you're working right, you're going to find kids, and you'll have new kids. You may get new kids just as quick as you lose them. But you're going to be finding kids. You're going to have kids ride. You're going to see kids saved. You're going to see kids grow. And it's about as exciting as watching corn grow in those early days. You think, wow, is that ever? I planted the seed, but is the plant ever going to come up? It will. Give it time. Keep working it. And one of these days, you'll look out and you'll see, wow, Lord really has done a lot of work through me, and it's a very humbling thing. You know, in the end, it's not us that does it. The Lord uses us to do His work, and it's like, wow. I was just adding it up, and we had 30 or 40 kids saved this year off our route, and we're only averaging 25. But wow, we've had a lot of kids we've been able to reach for Christ. And those days will come. Just stick with it, and you can do it. Just stick with it, patience. Prayer, a lot of prayer, and a lot of work. You may wear out a pair of shoes, but just stick with it. And I say, I encourage you to continue on in your ministry. If you don't have a bus ministry, get one started. If you have a bus ministry, let's look to expand. Let's look to reach an area, a town, somewhere we're not reaching yet. And that will conclude this lesson. Now, next lesson, talk about a very important part. We're talking about running a program in lesson five, something that I know a lot of people don't do or don't do very well. And I think that will be a big help to you. So hope to have you listening in then too. Thanks for listening.